And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keezer, intern Ryan here with us today on the program. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start today on this Friday morning. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. Teron Davenport at 8. We'll get full reaction to day number 2 of the joint practices between the Tennessee Titans and the Seattle Seahawks. Joe Rexrode, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, had a couple super days of practice, and those days are over. And we did find out confirmation yesterday, of course, that no starters tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium.
It's going to be a great time. Really looking forward to it.
Now there's still plenty to watch.
I'm sure there is.
We can get into that later. There are backups on a football team matter a lot because
they
know you're going to see a lot of them, right?
Hopefully not too many of them, but yes, you will see some. That is true. That's 100%
right.
True. Nick Keezer, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. You know, I thought for a second sometime yesterday that there really wouldn't be a preseason game given one reporter's mistake, but hey, here we are. So glad we're going into a fabulous weekend, gentlemen.
I must have missed that. I didn't see that.
It was.
Are you talking about TD?
Yeah, TD's tweet. That was amazing. Yeah, TD had said that the Titans are not playing Saturday, but he meant to add starters.
Oh, that's kind of funny. I mean, I wish he was right. Let's just move on. Let's just go to the regular season.
Game canceled, folks.
Do not
see you in September.
Don't go. We'll see you there. See you later. I mean. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, Joe.
Creed is playing at a crappy bar on the West End.
You everyone
can
go there.
See them instead.
Yes,
that's right.
Not a great night for your boy Joe Milton last night, Joe. Did not quite carry over performance 2 from performance 1 in the preseason.
Okay, so I was watching. I watched the series where he just got buried.
Yeah.
Like, but how many other series did he have besides
like
that?
One or two. I mean, he ended up 2 of 7. And they played Jacoby Brissett for like the entire first quarter, and he was terrible, and so was the entire team. They got Drake May in for some good run. I mean, look, they didn't have a single quarterback last night that threw for over 50 yards, and as a team, they threw for 90 yards in the game. So not a whole lot good going on there for the New England Patriots last night.
So he fits in well.
Yeah, he's just kind of right in line.
Yeah, I did see that series, and, you know, there was one of those plays where, like, you ain't got to get that ball out. That is sometimes a problem with him, right?
Yes.
But also, my goodness, did that pocket collapse.
No doubt about it. I mean, they're going to be pretty bad. I mean,
cheeks.
You don't want to – again, you don't take too much away from the preseason, but just where their roster is, and then, they, you know, obviously the trade of Judon, they're going to be pretty cheeks. No doubt about that.
What's the scale again? Cheeks, trash, and
– dog water.
Dog water, right? Yeah, they might be dog water. Yeah, I don't know what's higher than what, but they sound like
I think
dog
it's
water.
Trash and then dog water, and then I think cheeks brings up the rear, so to speak.
Well, yeah, that's probably makes sense. Okay, so maybe they'll be cheeks.
Day number 2 of Titans practice between the Seahawks and the Tennessee Titans. Lots of different takeaways to get to there. Joe, I'm sure your notepad is just roaring and ready to go today on the program. What were some of your takeaways from day 2 from the Titans and Seahawks yesterday on what we have determined as a group on the program here, the last really meaningful day of Titans training camp practice?
Yeah, actually, my notebook not as – so basically yesterday, and this was kind of writing-based because I was like, all right, I need to write a column about Levis. I mean, it's a good week to write about Levis, right? So I'm just focused on him. I didn't have a ton of notes, but the big thing yesterday, one big thing was certainly the trash talk bled into some actual, intensity and some, I don't think they ever got to a fight. And, you know, I think we're going to hear from J.C. Latham. He's going to tell us part of why. I mean, these coaches in this league are not messing around. I think is this all a reaction to the Lions-Giants, by the way?
I think so.
Yeah, I feel like it is too, but it was effective. But, I mean, I was sitting next to my coworker, Michael Sean Duggar, who's, covers the Seahawks for The Athletic, and we're sitting there, and and on the ground you got Latham and he and you got Leonard Williams on top of him, and Leonard and his helmet's off, and Leonard Williams has his arm cocked back, and I'm like, oh my goodness, he is about to land just a bomb of a punch. And he, to his credit, he held it and he didn't throw it, and then they broke it apart. And I mean, Rain Carthon did he was very brave throwing himself in there.
Carthon get in there? Guys, so, that's what you like to see. Yeah. All right.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I guess it's kind of like, you know, the past. We were joking about this yesterday. It's like, yeah, remember that one year when, like, Vrabel got in there and was, like, throwing people around and stuff when there was, like, a fight, which, of course, like, had something to do with Simmons. So Carthon, I guess, is the new Vrabel. I don't see him doing a lot of, like, drills with linemen or racing quarterbacks, but he definitely got in there and, you know, to break it up. So it never got to that, but definitely, you know, it got very trash talky. And again, it's like, I know that, like, Diggs and Adams were doing a lot of the talking, but I don't know if we have Latham right now, kind on the day. Leonard Williams, well, before he goes into that, after that they had a rep. And, man, I tell you what, I wish this was on film. I know we've seen the Sims throwing Lakin Tomlinson like a child.
Yes.
Clip. This rep afterward on team. So as everybody finally calms down, they get him back to snap, and it's like, man, I mean, ooh, this is – I was like, God, I don't know if they want, like, you know, like Williams and Latham to even, you know, touch each other again. That next rep, Leonard Williams gave the absolute – most powerful bull rush of his life, I promise you. He was like, I'm going to drive you into the ground. And Latham, I mean, he drove him back, but I tell you what, Latham stood up to it, tried to anchor. It was a clash of the Titans. Well, you know, one Titan,
nice.
But you know what I'm saying?
Well done.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, that's right. They need to tighten some things up. No, but it was like man, that is a one of the most powerful bull rushers in the league. And then look at this rookie, like, actually kind of stand up to him. I was impressed. Here's Latham.
Here's J.C. Latham from yesterday on the lack of fighting and kind of the message from the coaching staff heading into joint practices with the Seahawks.
Was it tough at all to handle the moment when your helmet got ripped off?
It was a good play. I drove him a little bit. Spin and finish him. The power kind of, you know, helped him get his momentum back. And, I mean, you know, like I said, it's going to get chippy out there when you're, you know, alpha dogs and you're competing out there. So, yeah, I mean, you just got to love the game. So.
Did you see his hand cocked back? His hand was cocked.
No, I wasn't studying none of that.
Was it made clear to you guys not to fight? And did you guys show some
absolutely.
Strength,
yes. 100%. Yeah. All the days are blending in together. But 2 days ago, we had our jog through day, just going over the stuff. You know, team meetings, first thing we put up there, the fines and what's going to happen if we get into a fight, what's the repercussions for the individual and all that stuff. So we made it a really big deal to really show some self-control and discipline.
How much would it cost you?
I think like $50,000, individual $200,000 for the team.
Woo! That's a hefty fine there, Rex Road. Pretty good deterrent there to not have some training camp fight shenanigans, as we've seen around the league a little bit.
Exactly. And, you know, Callahan had the letter to Mason Kinsey, which I still think is probably like the coolest thing of camp so far.
Yes.
For kicking the football in the water. But this is real. 50K. You know, you think about that. You know, obviously, I think whenever people think about the NFL, you always think about, oh yeah, millionaires and all stuff. And man, most of these guys out here are not millionaires, folks. And $50,000 is a huge, huge hit to most of these guys. So another thing, I saw this, and I don't know. It's slipping my mind who said it, but I think they also told them the same thing that we saw another team say, which is basically, if you get in a fight as a starter, you play the whole game. If you get in a fight as a backup, you don't play at all.
Right.
I love that too.
I mean, that I think that probably, if it's not already, is going to start to become pretty standard practice around the league, because, I mean, I think that's a pretty good deterrent, right? Like, if you're a starter, especially like if you're an established veteran starter, a lot of times you really want no part of the preseason. Like, really anything more than a series or two, you're like, yeah, no thanks. So I think that that could be a pretty effective deterrent. Now, I would love to see when push comes to shove, like let's say I was going to think of somebody on the Patriots is really, really important for Jerod Mayo. They don't have a whole lot of options.
There's
there.
Nobody.
But let's say they did. Let's say Brady was back and he got in a fight at training camp. Like, would he actually play the guy the entire preseason right. game? Like, would do you? You better be prepared to follow through on the punishment if you're one of these coaches putting the rule out there.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, oh my gosh, you son of a gun. Get out there. You're behind that threes offensive line. I don't care. I don't care, man. You get out there and you better move that football. I don't care who's out there with you. Yeah. That's the part that would be probably hard to enforce, right?
You would think so. Now, if you're, you know, a tight end or something, maybe it's a little bit easier at that point. But yeah, I would be interested to see what would happen if somebody actually followed through with one of those things. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Is it time to be worried about the offense? We'll get into that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
How disappointed are you that when you hit the offense in a two-minute team period, it's one play?
I'm disappointed. Yeah, I mean, that wasn't what I was hoping to get out of that period. You know, I thought it just wasn't good execution all the way around, and you know, we threw an interception to what would end a game, and so that's it's good coaching to teach off of. But you know, yeah, very disappointed in that. I was hopeful to get better work out of that with the operation instead of just throwing a pick on the first play, and that's it. So yeah, disappointing.
That's Brian Callahan after Titans practice yesterday, discussing the two-minute drill the Titans went through against the Seahawks yesterday. An interception on the first play from Will Levis and the offense. Now, he did say he would have to go back and look at the actual play to see, you know, what the route looked like, what was the protection like, the decision-making from Levis on all that. So it wasn't like an immediate of, well, Will Levis can't throw that ball. Had to go back and look and see what happened there. But what did you see from the Titans yesterday? What did you see specifically on that play, Joe Rexroad?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's always a chance that there's something else was wrong. Like Callahan said, the execution was off all the way around. But from my perspective, you know, he sort of predetermined he's going to hit a quick one out to Kinsey. Looked like he and Kinsey were on the same page on where Kinsey was going and where the ball was going. And Devon Witherspoon jumped it. You know, it's just, that's one of those, like, you got to be more aware of it. So I think it was on Levis. I don't think it's much more complicated than that. I could always be wrong. I do kind of like the sort of the rule that we've talked about, which is, you know, quarterbacks, I mean, at times it's, you know, there's a ball that's tipped or whatever. There's things like that happen that it's not their fault. But then again, there's also a lot of should have been picks that are dropped or whatever too. So ultimately, like, the pick number is what the pick number is, right? Kind of you are what you are with that. I think that one was very simple. I think it was just, you know, Witherspoon is a really good, really aggressive corner. I mean, look, man, those guys, Witherspoon and Woolen, Reek Woolen for the Seahawks, studs.
Yeah.
Okay. Like if you want to talk about work the Titans got this week, I do think that the offense in particular got, and you know, I think the DBs too got work with those receivers that the Seahawks have. Seahawks are a pretty good team, better team than the Titans. They're not great in all areas. Those areas they are. So I think it was just a really good play, good gamble, but also, you know, again, a little bit of a predetermined level. It's like, all right, let's go first down. Let's get, you know, let's get 4 or 5 yards and get out of bounds. And it was like, oh, no, actually you're done today. And that's the consequence, I think, was effective. I mean, it was I like how they did it. It's like, okay, well, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, that's a game losing pick, you know, in the 2 minute. You just lost the game, so now the twos and threes can play the rest of the day. So, I mean, obviously, very frustrating for him, and that was obvious to see, and frustrating for, I think, Brian Callahan. I mean, I wrote a little bit about this, too. I think that's the most, because, you know, he is very positive, and for the most part, he's going to err on the side of positivity. I think that was probably the most allowing himself to be publicly negative that he's been in camp.
Yeah, and for sure, like you want to see your starting group, number one, get good work, but number two, you know, have an effective two-minute drill there and go through the motions, and to have it, you know, over with in one play is obviously extremely disappointing. Joe, also a lot has been made of the Calvin Ridley-Will Levis connection, and I know we're going to get specifically more into Levis here in just a few minutes. But, you know, D-Mace was talking about this yesterday. Jared was talking about it yesterday. The play where Ridley didn't run through the ball, and Ridley was talking about it the other day about how he didn't finish the play and run through the play. D-Mace had a pretty big problem with that yesterday on Willie and D-Mace with Adam Vingan filling in this week. What do you make of kind of that whole thing right now with Ridley, the connection with Levis, apparently not running through one of those plays? Is there cause for concern there? What do you make of kind of the Ridley saga over the last day or so?
So I didn't hear Jared's take on this. I did hear D-Mace with Adam. By the way, I really enjoyed Adam and D-Mace this week. And I love D-Mace's passion. And that's what he said. He's like, I have a passion for this position. And he talked about how, you know, he felt it was like his responsibility at every rep to bring that energy. And look, some players are like that. Some players aren't. Some players are bad practice players, you know, and they're great in the game. And frankly, you'd rather have a bad practice player who's awesome on game day than the other way around. But I have full appreciation and respect for that approach. I don't know this for sure, Robbie, but I just really think it was a throwaway line by Ridley. I really do.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just think it's a total overreaction to the whole thing. And I know PK wrote about it. I think that he was the first one to, because it was him and whoever else was there when Ridley said this. I wasn't there when Ridley said this the other day. And I saw the video and like, okay. Like, you tell me, maybe you disagree, and that's fine. I thought
my first reaction was the exact same thing. It felt like he was just kind of saying something, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't really think too much about it.
Yeah, he's kind of saying something. Because on that play, and I believe we're talking about the same play, I think I talked about this, from my fantastic notes the next day. I believe it was a mix-up. I believe that and TD talked about, like, he looked one shoulder to the other. It looked like just the route, that they had a different idea of what the route should have been. There was a little bit of a pause and a hitch, and then you can't catch up with the ball. I did not, on that rep, think he was jogging or, you know, he got hung up, and then he tried to catch up with the ball at full speed. It was too late. It was past him.
Honestly, one of my reactions when I heard it, and then I heard Levis, you know, Levis was asked about the same play and talked about basically how he had to put it on him. It kind of felt like two guys not wanting to blame the other guy, so trying to put responsibility on themselves, was my takeaway from it.
Well, Levis.
There's two different plays that are in there, but I do think, I mean, Levis, I can't remember which play he was talking about, but there was that one, and he said another time he just kind of avoided the question on one of the other connections.
That's the one I think we're talking about. Okay. So it was the first one because then it was really early in the practice. And Levis was like, I think I know what happened on that play. I'm paraphrasing. I don't want to speak on it until I know. Right.
So right. Like, that's
which
right.
Again, like, so even think about that comment. That doesn't sound like, you know, I think he just like didn't really run. I think it was like, yeah, there was a mix up. Right.
Yeah.
The second one, I think Levis is right. He missed the throw. So anyway, there's all this, you know, buzz about this, and I think it's just he was just saying something, you know. Now that doesn't mean that there's no concern or urgency for those guys to get it together, because they still haven't. By the way, Nick, do we have Callahan on that? I thought that he had a really good comment on he made the comparison of Ja'Marr Chase as a rookie. If we have that,
we can find it.
That should be cut up. I mean, I think he got a little frustrated by this too, you know, the whole thing. I can't be sure that Calvin Ridley isn't right, but I really I think it was just kind of like, yeah, you know, I got to bring that energy or whatever. I think it was just a mix up. So, but like, don't be concerned, you know, like if you're a Titans fan who obviously isn't watching, or if you haven't been gone out there or whatever watching, and Calvin Ridley is out there working hard, running around. And I don't think effort is going to be the concern. The concern is more their chemistry and getting on the same page and being like that, you know, because Levis has that with Hopkins pretty well. He and Boyd, it didn't take long. Like, and I know it's different, you know, you got a slot guy and some of that stuff is more simple, you know, it's like find the hole in the zone and it's quick stuff, but you know, it's really about the Levis Ridley being on the same page on all aspects of things so that whenever there's an opportunity, they take advantage of it.
Here's what Brian Callahan had to say on the Calvin Ridley front yesterday.
It just reminds me a little bit, you know, when Jamar Chase came in as a rookie in Cincinnati, there was a bunch of hoopla about how he forgot how to catch a football, and we couldn't hit him deep, and we couldn't connect, and he can't catch. And I think the same thing happened to Jerry Rice, too, if I'm not mistaken. But some of these training camp ups and downs get a little bit magnified. I'm not overly concerned about the process. I think we're in the right place. Sure, I would like to hit one or two of them, but those things come, and I don't really overreact to that at all. I think yesterday was hot. Those guys' legs were dead. They're dead today. We cut practice pretty significantly because of it. So I would just say we're just continuing on as usual.
So that was Brian Callahan yesterday addressing the kind of the Ridley situation there. But did you detect some frustration with some of the questioning around Ridley yesterday?
Well, again, I mean, relative to Callahan, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's
right.
A
he didn't go full Vrabel.
No, I don't. I mean,
he may not ever go full Vrabel.
I mean, that's going to take like an unbelievable blown game, or what? Maybe like a blowout. You know, who knows? Once you get into actual games. But he's pretty chill, you know. So, and right before that clip, he said, "I don't think it was about running hard," you know.
Yeah.
And again, to me, it was almost like they know at this point. Yeah, they had a mix up on that play. That's what I think happened. And then Ridley said what he said, and now we're all running around like chickens with our heads cut off. Oh my God! And I respect D-Mace's take. Totally respect it, because if you're a receiver and you hear someone say that, I mean, you got to take them for their word, right?
Yeah.
Be like, dude, you can't be like that. And then I have no idea what Stelly's take was. I'm sure it was very reasonable and measured. But
no, he was more mad at Callahan than he was Ridley. How could you say he didn't run, or he didn't? Don't think it's about running hard when the receiver said he didn't run hard. That was the main part of it.
Right. So again, so if Callahan knows that they go through study and they go with the Tyke Tolbert and all of a sudden they go through it and like, oh yeah, I thought it was this or whatever. Right. And so they all like know that it was a mix up. And then he says, I don't think it was him running hard. So he should actually, per Jared, even though he has way more information than we do, he should go with the soundbite. That should be his reality. Now that makes sense.
I got a text that says, I'm not going to trip about the offense right now. No two-a-days anymore. Practicing only a few hours a day. Can't really hit anybody. Want to see two or three full game activities before I have an idea. Michael in Madison says, quote, you just went full Vrabel. Never go full Vrabel. End quote. Very well done.
Nice.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the offense. Is there's cause for concern for Will Levis at this point? We'll take a deeper look at that. Robbie in Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans, some of his observations from the first, the only 2 days of joint practices between the Titans and the Seahawks. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So we've talked about the offense. We talked about the two-minute drill yesterday, the Ridley-Levis connection that is still leaving something to be desired out there. At this point in camp, Joe, we know that doesn't look like he's going to play on Saturday in the game. So you've got basically one more week of preseason stuff left before you start really honing in on Chicago and focusing on game one of the regular season going up here in just a few weeks. Where do we feel like Will Levis is at this point in camp? Is there cause for concern based on the way that he has practiced and or played to this point? What do we make of Will Levis and the progress that he's made to this point in camp under Brian Callahan in year one?
Yeah, someone texted. What was the text? So Levis kind of stinks, huh? Yeah, I would not agree with that. Here's one thing I was thinking about yesterday. I was writing about Levis. Okay, let's just kind of assess the whole thing, because even yesterday he ends with that pick, very disappointing. He had, you know, plenty of good passes yesterday. There has not been, and anybody else out there can disagree with me, there has not been a single day where I've thought, oh my God, he was incredible. Also, there has not been a single day where I've thought, oh my God, he was awful. So what does that mean?
Right.
I don't know. Look, this is where I've had this, we're about to have Stilly on. I've had screaming matches with him, and it's still it's the sneaky low key. One of the worst takes he's ever had is this idea that your performance in camp translates, because he uses this like Tannehill threw some picks in 21, and so look at, he threw picks in the regular season. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous because it's just, you're working on things. Yeah, you're working on certain plays, and you're trying to build chemistry, and you have all these different drills, and then you have a game and a game plan, an opponent, and it's just not the same thing. I know it's football, and it's playing quarterback, but it's like I've been told by people smarter than me, you know, the only thing that really matters in a training camp, like from great to terrible performance, is if the quarterback is struggling to do the pre-snap stuff, if the quarterback is not reading things, and it's always one read and pull the ball and run, right? But you're like, you can't get through your progressions, all that type of stuff. Okay, well, now that is a problem. You know, that is an issue. But as far as, well, I mean, look, if you can't physically do it, you can't physically do it. Will Levis can physically do everything. He's made enough throws, again, like in every single practice, you could string together a highlight tape like, wow, man, that looks pretty good. But you have some bad ones too. Where is he? I don't think it's very different for me, Robbie, than it was going in. Like, he has all the tools. I think he's doing all the things right to get ready. I think he's going to be prepared. He's going to have the offense. I don't see operational issues with him at all.
Yeah.
I think he's doing, he's leading well as much as you can in the position he's in, where he's still in very much a prove it position. And they're just, you know, he misses some throws sometimes where it's like, man, you got to get to the point where that's automatic.
Yeah.
You know? And so right now I'd say he's had a pretty good camp. That would be, if I had to use a term, it would be solid, pretty good, something in that range. And that's probably what I expect from him to be this season. So I guess did I contradict myself? Maybe. I just think that, like, taking too much from what we see out there and expecting it to be what we see this season, it's just, I think that's a fool's errand.
Well, I think, yes, totally. Like, I'm totally with you in terms of, I'm not taking too much away from camp practices and all of these different things. Now, I will say, like, if you're of the mind that just because Mike Vrabel is now out and they brought in, quote-unquote, an offensive guy, that means Will Levis from the jump this season is going to start to look like Patrick Mahomes, then I think we're probably living in a little bit of fantasy land anyway heading into the season. Like, it is a new coaching staff. There is a new playbook. There are new people that you're trying to develop a connection with. The likelihood is, and we've talked about this a lot, the likelihood is it's probably going to take some time for this offense once the regular season gets around to really gel and to really see the complete picture of what you've got. And you're hoping that as the season goes on, Levis and the offense as a whole continue to build, that by the time, you know, week 10 rolls around, they look much different than they did at the beginning of the season, and they look much better than they did at the beginning of the season. Now, look, I say all that. They may come out in the first game against Chicago and hang up 42 points, and everybody's feeling great. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But, you know, Levis, I think the big question we've had about him really ever since he came out of the draft was, can you consistently put the football where it needs to be placed over and over and over again with the accuracy? Like, can that be something that becomes automatic for you? Like, we know he's got arm strength. We know he's got the ability to make pretty much any throw you need your quarterback to make. Number one, does the decision-making look good? And number two, can you consistently deliver the football and place it where you need to be over and over and over again? And that's largely the name of the game in the NFL. And I still think, number one, it's a work in progress, and we're going to see how much progress he can make in that area over the course of the season. Like, you know, obviously, you were describing the two-minute drill play. That goes back to decision-making, right? Like, not a great decision from Levis there. So that's got to be something that gets better as the season goes on.
For sure. And I got a good question here. Have you consistently seen Levis make the same mistake over and over again? He seems to make mistakes, but usually corrects it. And no, I don't. Again, like the red flags for me, it's like Malik Willis. Okay, Malik Willis in camp, that was fair to be concerned as soon as we saw him, because it's like, okay, every time it's first read and then pull, first read, then pull, not seeing the field. And he's just pulling and going, and you know, and he's late, right? That is an issue. Levis, I think, is getting through his progressions really well. I think he's worked on just taking, like, it's like, I think he's going through fast and then taking the check down quickly, which is smart. Like, that's such a big deal to me, you know, for good quarterbacks in this league. I mean, if you go watch a Tom Brady game, you'll see like 6-7 times, like, okay, yeah, just fine, take the back, yep, let him, and now he makes a move, and now it's, that was going to be 4 yards, and he makes a move and it's 8-9 yards, just fine. I'm looking for what I want, don't see it, perfect, boom, check down, you know. I will say the pick, and you know, even decision making, like, because that has been the other question with Levis, right? It's the accuracy, and then it's the decision making. Yep. Because he definitely at Kentucky, you know, threw some like, wow, why did you try to fit that in type plays. Like yesterday's is, I guess, to me, a little bit less of a concern mistake, because it's just one of those, it's a predetermined thing. You gotta know who's the corner. What does the corner do? Because Witherspoon's going to do that stuff. Who are you throwing to? And again, maybe something was messed up with Kinsey, but I don't think so. I think he just predetermined the throw. I think that's still a better, like, mistake that you can more easily say, okay, yep, like, you just have to think. You just got to, like, give yourself a half-second pause and not do that, as opposed to, why did you try to fit that in against cover three? You got to know, like, this guy's going to be there or whatever. Like, they had a robber on this play. How did you not see that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, this is one of those simple, like, you know, it's like, oh, man. As soon as you do it, you're like, oh, what have I done, you know? So I think from the – again, operational and from the mental standpoint, I think he's doing great. Yeah, it's just, it's not the same mistake over and over again, but you know, it's, there are still, to me, a few too many throws that are just like, that should have been right on, and it wasn't. He'll make throws also that are like, wow, the pinpoint accuracy on that throw, you know, downfield. I think he throws a great deep ball. He's throwing a lot of good deep balls, not all perfect, but you know, when he gets out there, with what we've seen from him, if you tell me that the offensive line keeps coming, because I do think this week it was more good than bad with them. I really do. If you tell me that Hopkins is out there and Boyd's out there and that he and Ridley in the next 3 weeks or whatever get better, you know, he's got a chance. It's going to look better. You know, of course, you're also going against first team defense, yep, with a game plan, against your game plan. So tell me that Brian Callahan's a good play caller, you know, and Nick Holtz is a good game planner. You know, all these things are going to tell the story. But Levis still, obviously, you want to see just when he has those throws to be able to nail it a little bit more often.
We'll take your thoughts on Will Levis. Is there cause for concern? What do you make of the Titans quarterback at this point in camp? 615-737-1025, our phone number. More on that coming up next. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. All that coming up. Tune in to 102.5 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Firekeepers Casino 400. Coverage will begin at 12:30. The race starting at 1:30. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Check out Nashville's best deal of the week. It's Soar Adventure Tower, where there's adventure for everyone of all ages. Get a $100 gift card for just $50 and book family fun, your next office outing, or a birthday party. Soar Adventure Tower, 4 levels of fun with easy to difficult obstacles to choose from. Plus, there's an 18-hole mini golf course. Get your $100 gift card for just $50 now at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on Will Levis. Is there cause for concern from the quarterback at this point into training camp? What do you make of what we've seen, what we've heard about Will Levis's performance to this point? 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Joe, I always say this, you know, I try not to overreact to training camp. I'm not saying that there's absolutely nothing that you can glean from it, because there certainly is, and there are things that absolutely, I mean, you know, we talk about things that don't translate from training camp to regular season performance. There are things that do. I mean, we've talked about, there are examples that you can find of players consistently showing up every day, making plays in camp, and the same thing happens once it rolls around into regular season play. One thing that I do think, especially at quarterback, is different. When you're out there, whether it's a joint practice, team drills, whatever it is, when you're out there and you know that you're not going to get hit, I do think it's different from a regular season game of not knowing when the contact could be coming. You know that you're kind of a sitting duck back there at times. And I think at quarterback, that often is probably the main difference between camp and regular season. I mean, you've got the red jersey on. Nobody's allowed to touch you. Even the joint practices, it's not like the Titans are out there taking Geno Smith to the ground for the Seahawks. So it is different that way. So there's always going to be some level of what you do in a game is different from anything you could possibly simulate at the quarterback position in camp, given that aspect of it. I guess what I'm saying is, like Levis, when it comes to evaluating him, yes, you can get concerned about camp if you want to. Sure, you'd like to see him be more consistently accurate. You'd certainly like to see Ridley and Levis figure it out in terms of their connection heading into the season. But like my evaluation of him, I'm not going to panic at any point until I start to see how it goes into actual football games where there is contact and he is allowed to be hit and he's allowed to evade pressure and run and on and get outside the pocket, throw the ball, all those things. Like if you're freaking out right now about what you've seen or heard from Levis in camp, I would urge patience if you're a Titans fan.
No, and that's a great point. And, you know, I think that's actually a reason for optimism with him because, look, it may be to his detriment, and it really may be costly at some point. He is courageous, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I was most impressed with last year is, like, he didn't get happy feet. If he got happy feet, it would, you know, then he was going to try to make a play, and he's probably putting his shoulder down, which, again, he has to not do that and stop doing that. But because some quarterbacks look amazing and then the happy feet come and all of a sudden you're looking down and you're not keeping your eyes downfield while that rush is right in your face and you have just a tiny little space, but you still, the great quarterbacks still stand in there and make those plays. And I think he's, for everything I've seen, he's not a happy feet QB. I think sometimes QBs do get happy feet if they get hurt. I think Marcus Mariota got happier feet as he went as a pro. So, you know, you never know. But right now, I don't think that's a problem. It's interesting you bring this up because we've talked about Anthony Richardson. So apparently Richardson, whenever they do anything team or where there's, you know, it's not really live, but it's like at least you're getting rushed. Apparently he's been really good. And when they just do like 7-on-7 and stuff, he's been bad.
Yeah.
And he got asked about that, I think, yesterday, and he was just like, I don't know, I guess it's just, I just like real football, it's like the whole thing, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, like, it's like when I feel like I'm being chased and stuff like that, then, like, it somehow, he's more accurate, he's like, he's actually playing the game.
Which is pretty interesting, yeah.
It is interesting, yeah, and I think there actually is something to that with Levis, too. And again, I'm not saying that, oh, as soon as he gets chased, now all of a sudden it's just going to be lasers all over the field, exactly where they need to be. But I think he is probably a little bit better in that kind of setting. And yeah, it's just like, again, let's go to your guy. What was at this point a year ago? How was Jordan Love looking in camp?
Very up and down. Some really, really, really good throws, really good days. And, I mean, I think there was one day last year in camp where he threw like 4 picks.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, again, I think the best example is joint practices 5 years ago, Patriots, and Tom Brady looks like Gandalf the Wizard out there. Yes. Like, the ball's just going wherever he wants it to go. And then you watch the Titans quarterbacks, and Mariota was bad and just suffered by comparison. Tannehill was worse than Mariota. I remember I was like, my God, this Tannehill is terrible. I thought he had good numbers in Miami. What's up with this dude? And then we know what happened that year. That year they went from the worst offense in the NFL through 6 weeks to top 3 or 4 offense in the NFL and one half away from the Super Bowl. So it's just like a lot of this stuff that they're working on, they are going to have to, there's no doubt that it's going to be work during the season necessary to get better. You know, camp does what it can do, but it can't do everything.
So do you, you know, we've heard from Brian Callahan that the starters are not going to play. Is that the right move? I know they've gotten in two really good days of work against Seattle. So you could say that they've gotten in the work that they've needed to get. But you could also make the argument that Will Levis needs to play as much as he can heading into the season, and the offensive line needs to play as much as they can heading into the season. Do you think it is a mistake? What do you make of the starters not getting in there on Saturday against Seattle?
I mean, I'm not changing from, like, I just put myself in those shoes. I would, you know, I'd err on the side of not getting anybody hurt. That's just how I would do it. I understand the other side. Look, Andy Reid's out here like, hey, man, let's go play a whole game, yeah. You know, and people are saying, you know, he gets credit for that for, you know, they seem to play well early. They did lose the Lions last year, but they didn't have Kelsey, you know, in the opener. But
well, and it's the Lions. I mean, you can't stop that train once it gets rolling.
That is true. The mighty, mighty Lions. I think they won like their next five or six after that. The Chiefs did. But again, is that because he played starters the preseason? I have my doubts about how much that matters. I would say that in New Orleans, it probably makes sense to try to put the whole operation together for a few series, you know, just to, and again, I think more than the quarterback, I just, you know, okay. So if a quarterback goes in a preseason game with, again, it's not a game plan situation. They're running some basic plays. Yeah. You have the game feel. Yes. You can get tackled to the ground. I just don't think that's a huge benefit for a QB. I think it's a benefit for an offensive line that has to work together no matter what, no matter game plan or not or whatever, you know, like their chemistry as five people on certain plays. I think that's worthwhile. So, but I guess I wouldn't expect to see like the one's offensive line against New Orleans play a half, but then half of it with Mason Rudolph or something like that. So I think he should play the starters some in that game. It makes sense. If I was a head coach, I'd be very limited with it because I understand it's football and there's some things about it that you can't replicate in practice or anything, but also there are things about a real actual game that are not anything like a preseason game. That's why they stink.
At what point is it fair in your mind to get concerned about Levis and Ridley in that connection in terms of their inability to really get on the same page on a consistent basis trying to push the ball down the field?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're getting sick of being asked about it, and I think there's some frustration on their side. I think with Ridley – think about this week. I'll go back to the interview you and PK did with Mike DiRocco. I think, you know, I don't point the finger. I'm actually kind of not pointing the finger on the whole I didn't run hard. I just don't think there's much there. I do look at it and say, well, if there were these issues with Ridley in Jacksonville in terms of the offense and stuff like that, is that really what we're seeing now? Is that actually what it was on that play when he said, I just got to run with more energy, you know?
Yeah.
I'd kind of guess it was. So, yeah, there's some level of concern for sure. I mean, like, because obviously this is a guy who is paid to be your best player. You know, I mean, he is your, well, he's your highest paid player on offense, right?
Yeah.
He's your highest paid player on offense, and he's paid to be a receiver one in this league, and so they've got to get on the same page. So, I mean, again, I'm not saying it's all on Ridley. It does seem like there's at least some history of that being a bit of a problem for him. So, yeah, I mean, they've got to figure it out, and maybe it doesn't happen before the season. I mean, it has to happen at some point. If it doesn't happen at some point, then that's a real problem. I can't imagine, you know, that it's going to be like just, you know, misfires all year and he zigs and you zag, you know. But, look, at this point, it's like you would like to see more of them connecting at this point.
We'll have Jared Stillman join us next. We'll get to some of his takeaways from Titans and Seahawks joint practices this week. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.